you might be the problem. You might be the problem.
Hi.
I'm the problem. Like, that's literally it. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, friends. Welcome to Sandcastle Podcast. I am your host, Rowena Jifa. Call me what you want.
And I'm your co-host, Anika Zam. And this is
Sandcastle Podcast. We are so, so bad at that, girl. We gotta get it.
Okay, okay, okay. You didn't see that.
But you know the High School Musical.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. We got good. One, two, go three. And this is...
Thought we started from the beginning.
Forget about it.
It's
forget
about
it.
You know what this is.
And that was Space. Last episode we forgot to introduce Space. Or maybe we did right at the end, but...
You know, again, what I will always say, no need for an introduction. Yeah. She's that bitch. She's that girl.
She is. She deserves her accolades.
And she does.
Now she's leaving us.
As she should.
As she should.
It's free will.
How are you?
The real one or the fake one?
Whichever one you want to give.
Girl, I'm tired.
Girl, I hear it. I think Sleepy Girl is your DJ name.
It's who I am.
And it rings
fundamentally.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could, like, sleeping is the hobby. It's my favorite hobby.
Oh, so, I know.
Okay, yeah. I think anyone who knows me knows that, like, if I don't text, if I don't call, she's just
having a little nap.
Yeah, she's like in a different place. Yes, very much like a cat, actually.
Yeah.
I think so, except for I'm lactose intolerant.
Aren't cats?
No, they love milk.
Well, just because I love milk. Don't you like milk? Aren't you lactose
intolerant? No, girl.
Not everyone's lactose intolerant doesn't like milk.
But that's fair, actually.
That's fair. I'm pretty sure cats are lactose intolerant.
That's fair. Yeah, okay, fair. Wait, hold on. Okay, go on. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about staying ethical while surviving.
Oh,
yeah.
Real,
a little bit of an interesting one.
I think so, because when push comes to shove, I think people's true colors show. And I think sometimes surviving in Ghana is a pressure cooker, right?
Mm.
So when the pressure is on, what are the colors that are going to come out? And
that's fair.
Yeah. And that's what, because, like, personally, I don't know about you, but I've heard so many horror stories of people, like, I think people change friends often here, right? Because, like, I think, well, actually, I don't know, that might be a worldwide thing, but I would say I've heard so many stories of people being like, oh my God, I thought this person was this way, and then something's happened and their true colors have shown and they're actually the other way. And I also think, like, a lot of the times in Ghana, you're meeting such a mesh of different cultures, whether it's like their diaspora or whether they've always lived here, what, like, people from different perspectives more so often than I would when I was in the UK. Like, I could probably guarantee most people had, like, quite similar upbringings to me. And that clash in culture sometimes, I think it's either, are they unethical or do they hold different values to me?
Mm.
Or is it just a clash in culture?
Yeah.
You know?
So are you saying from there?
No, from here.
Okay.
From here, more so. But should we riff? Okay, what is being ethical to you?
What is being ethical to me? On a real note, like on the true nature of who I am, I don't necessarily believe in ethics or morals or any of that, because we live on a rock. So... But then, when I think of that rock's society, then I kind of lock in and I'm like, okay, I guess.
Right.
You know, we've created ethics and morals. So within that, what do I choose to believe? do what you want, just don't hurt anybody. That's about as far as I go when it's, you know, when I'm not going in deep. But then I guess it just depends on the topic. So, but generally, I'd say my consensus in life is to do what you want as long as you do not have a direct intentional desire to hurt anyone. Missing, you know, if it's misdirected, if it's unintentional, I mean, by all means, we're all human, we're flawed.
Yeah.
But you just shouldn't be a little bitch, is really all it is.
Okay, T. Sometimes, what if the unintentional, obviously, you were saying, don't hurt anyone, but sometimes, what if it's a double-sided thing, right? Like that's thing, what's that philosophy thing of where it's like two people on the train and you have to kill one or you have to kill four?
Like, have you heard that experiment?
Yeah. So basically, if two people are on a train, right, and you are a train that's oncoming, and you can either change a gear to kill one person that's lying on the train tracks, or you can kill four people that are lying on the train tracks. Do you sacrifice the one for four?
Wait, what? There's two. Why are they, then? What are the two people on the train for?
What do you mean?
So there's you're on two trains.
No, there's one train.
There's one train.
And the train track splits.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And on one train track, there's one person tied onto the train track, and then on the other, there's three people tied to the train track.
Oh, right? I'm killing the one person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look.
No, I hear it. I mean,
sometimes I think in life you just have to remove the emotionality, because that will make, first you might kill everybody at that point, because so the train will derail and it will probably fall on everyone. But if it's just statistics, you know,
one person's
life is, I don't subscribe to labels as far as my political leanings.
It's utilitarian. It's like that's what it is. Like, you will sacrifice one for the good of all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't really, not necessarily. Okay. So I don't subscribe to like any particular label, just because it's overarching. I could change in 5 years. Like, 5 years from now, I could say a very different thing. Maybe I have a deep sentiment or affinity for the value of one life versus many. Or maybe I'll ask questions. But in a broad situation like that, it's more so just like, oh, one person versus three immediately. Because someone will be like, oh, is the one person younger or older? Those are factors. But I almost don't want to know at that point, because then it might make my life harder. It's kind of like Handmaid's Tale, when the dude, I can't remember anyone's name, but the main character, she was working with the one dude, or like he took
that
her
driver.
In. Is he wasn't driver? A driver. He was one of the like top people. But he was kind of like 50-50 in and out. He was weird. But
the one that she had the baby with?
No, not that dude. That was like a security guy.
Oh, okay,
right?
Okay.
It was one of the like
The older guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He had
yeah.
white hair.
And his wife went crazy.
Exactly.
Because of like what
and
was
then
happening.
He took her to like where they had the people, some of the women and the men, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was like, she has to choose who gets to be like a Martha or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was that thing of like, you know, you have to choose one, or you choose, or all of them die, or something
right,
you know what I mean? And it was very like, very emotionally charged, because obviously in that, you know, you're thinking about, what are my ethics, what are my beliefs, like all of that jazz. But yeah, so for me, the less I know, the better when it comes to some situations. But again, it's all subjective. This is just me today.
Yeah.
So who's to say?
I hear it. I think with morals and ethics, I think, like you said, go by how you would want someone to treat you, and you treat them that way. I also like, I think I'm quite, I to be quite empathetic and quite understanding. I think one thing that Ghana's taught me or fast-tracked with me when it comes to people is patience, and having the patience to let people reveal themselves ethically, because sometimes, like, I used to give so much grace. I used to give people a lot of the benefit of the doubt, and now I don't think I really need to. If I know you are, like, I know your character, then I will give you the benefit of the doubt, but off jump, like, I'm on your neck.
What's on your neck? What does that mean?
On your neck, like, I think, oh, this is actually such a big thing. So I'm like quite a non-confrontational person. Well, I used to be a non-confrontational person. Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, oh, maybe the person will realize how I feel. Mm. Or maybe, like, you know, like, let it go. You take the L, you take the emotional burden, etc., etc. But I'm like, I literally am not like that anymore. Now, when I see, when I see something and I feel a type of way about it, I will like be like, yo, what's up? Or like, I will confront it or like ask questions, love to ask questions. I think my favorite phrase is, what do you mean by that? Because I love to ask questions. Just to, like, so there's no misunderstandings or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one thing in terms of like living, trying to live a more ethical life. I think in trying to be as transparent as I can, so no one thinks that, not no one, but if I have bad intentions, I have bad intentions. Mm. But so people know that where I'm coming from, and that can help guide them in like, is this person trying to move funny, or is it just a funny situation?
Yeah. Okay, so that's our two perspectives. I want to see what Miss ChatGPT has to say.
Did you ask
what
her?
What does ethical mean? Question mark. Come on, girl, give it to us. Give it good. In the context... Oh, means something.
While she's searching, let me ask you a question, though.
Okay.
Do you think any of us are ethical? Okay, no, that's a no.
Next one. No, that's a good question, but... So, I guess ethical means relating to moral principles or the branch of knowledge dealing with these. So moral principles. That's an interesting framework.
I think that's quite subjective.
Exactly.
Because everyone's principles are different.
And then your question is, are any of us ethical? Which is to say, what are the moral principles that we all hold amongst ourselves as a society? Damn. I'm just 27, girl.
Not real. Okay. I will say, let me rephrase it. And to say, is any of us ethical? Two more, do you feel that we become more less ethical when we are in a pressurized environment? Like, let's say we're going through like the distress stage. Do you think it's easy to be ethical when you are in a place of insecurity?
Distress stage being the moving back?
Yeah.
And or even that, like, it doesn't, or just even like in distress in general.
Moving back, I mean, I think us, even if you're living here for a long mm-hmm. time, you still go into this distress stage as cycles of like when things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy to be ethical in those ways in that time? Or is it like at that point, I'm stressed, so everything goes out the window?
I guess it depends on your resilience. If you're the kind of person that you haven't exercised the muscle of knowing how to stay aligned to your values or your beliefs or your moral principles when things get tough, then you're not that type of person and you need to harness that skill. I don't think a lot of... It's interesting. I'm not too sure. I haven't thought about this before, actually. But I honestly think a lot of the like informal sector, for instance, they are quite resilient. They bounce back very quickly. Like, good examples like the Kantamanzu fire that just happened recently, for instance. They were building within days, you know what I mean? And I do think, though, that a lot of it has to do with the, you know, your moral principles are very much based on, like, your need to survive. You know what I mean? I think where it gets a little sinister for some people is when you have the billionaires and they are still using underhanded and sinister methods in order to live. At that point, you're not surviving. You're also just exploiting. You know what I mean? So... Yeah, I think in Ghana, I'd say a lot of the informal sector are very resilient. Thus, as far as ethical, well, I can't really speak for them. But in our community, I'd say most people want to be ethical. I don't know necessarily that it always comes out, but that's all of us, you know?
I have a theory.
Mm.
It's not a theory. I think it's a fact, actually.
Oh, a fact.
Sure. No, I don't know if it's a fact, but I think it's a fact. I think it's really easy, like really, really easy to be a bad person. I think it's like, it's the easier way to live.
Oh yeah, entropy.
Yeah. It's the easier way to live. I think there's sometimes like doing the good thing or doing the right thing, it's normally the harder thing to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think sometimes we people, I don't know, we fall into this trap where because it's easier, we decide to be ignorant to the right thing.
Can you decide to be ignorant?
Yeah.
Or
you, I think you can decide to be ignorant. You can know something and then be like, make excuses for it. You can excuse yourself from doing the right thing.
Yes, for sure, actually.
Like, imagine, okay, let's say, for example, this might be a real example or a fake example. We're not doing the lie detector yet, but decide for yourself. So let's say, for example, that situation I went through when I first moved here. If you know that, like, you are meant to communicate something with someone, right?
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
If you know you're meant to communicate something with someone, and because of your, maybe it's an ego thing for you, or maybe it's, like, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, so you decide that, like, oh, I'm not going to have that conversation, and I'm going to be ignorant to it by being avoidant to it. Do you get what I mean? That's what I mean by ignorant to it. But you could actually just have that conversation. It will be uncomfortable. You might have to take some actions afterwards. But you can decide to be like, oh, Charlie, this is not my problem right now. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go do something else, you know?
Let me catch your vibe, because you're saying that some people... your fact is that people are more susceptible to leaning towards being more of a bad person by sort of ignoring the work that's necessary to do the good stuff, or like to be better people.
Yeah.
That's valid. Yeah. I would say so. Again, I see it as a muscle. If your muscle is weak, it'll be harder for you to do the things that are right. And again, I use quotations because, again, I don't think people are, like, it's easy for us to be bad people, because I don't necessarily think about things in right and wrong or bad and good.
Because it's a spectrum, right?
Yeah, I really, you know, we come from the animal kingdom, and so a lot of, if you've you ever had a chat with me.
No, you keep saying this.
Because it's true.
She's like, oh, we are just animals. And I'm like, girl, yes, we are, but we have brains too.
So animals with brains.
Like, yeah, we have animals brains. With brains that are cognizant, your favorite word, and also, like, get to make decisions. Do you get what I mean? We're not completely primal. That's what I'm trying to say.
But that doesn't, like, there's a lot of animals that aren't completely primal. In any case, the thinking there is just, we hold ourselves on a pedestal and sort of, there's this really old meme that's really stupid, but it's just like, you know, humans are anxious monkeys.
We
overcomplicate. It is complicated though.
Okay, pause whatever you're doing right now, because we have something big to tell you.
Like, circle your calendar, life-changing kind of big.
Okay, we're exaggerating, but you're definitely going to feel the FOMO.
Sankasa is having a live show on May 23rd, bitches.
From 7:30 to 9:30 p.m.
at GCR Studio in Chado.
Expect good, great vibes, real conversations, stories and secrets.
A little drama. You know how we do.
You know how we do. Grab the girls, besties, or just show up solo and cute.
While we celebrate the significance of us, yes, you, our dear listener, becoming the new generation of adults.
The new oldies, the baddie aunties and uncles.
I'm sorry, did you just call us old?
I think I did. Yeah, maybe.
Ah, cheek. Come hang with us and chat about what this new era means.
Tickets are free and available in our bio. See you there.
Mwahaha. And it could be a lot more simple, is what I think is what it is. But that might in itself be an oversimplification. But I do think it behooves us to realize a lot of times that we are just humans, which is just another type of animal, and we need to stop.
I want to give an example of something that I think commonly happens here, that you're like, is that ethical? But it's like just such a normal practice that like we all understand it. And I don't think it just happens here. It's just like a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, I want a sofa, right? And I've gone to a carpenter and I've been like, oh, can you do the sofa for me? And he's like, okay, say less. Like, just give me half of the deposit. Just give me half for a deposit and I will do it. You forget about it. You're going about your business. You're going about your week or whatever. And then you're like, oh, my guy, when am I getting my sofa? And he's like, oh, like, I didn't buy the material. So do you know what? Like, send me a half of what you owe me. And so I'll go buy the material and then we can just finish up when I bring the sofa. Meanwhile, he's obviously gone and already chopped that money. He did not have the intention of making your sofa the first time, but now he understands your, well, he had the intention, but he thought he had more time until you put the pressure on. And then until like you were like, really, like, yo, where is my sofa? And then he realized, push comes to shove, maybe he doesn't have the funds to like fit it himself and I think we would normally be like, oh, it's annoying, that guy, he didn't do right. But that's a moral thing. Because if you think he's taken, as a business person, he's taking your money in good faith, and you expect him to provide a service, but he doesn't. I think we don't normally think about it in those ways. And not to put it on him, it could also be vice versa, right? Someone could make, you could ask someone to make something for you and they made it for you. They're about to deliver it to your house and you don't have that other half, and you're saying to him, oh boss, I will send you the money in a week, and then it becomes 2 weeks to a month. You know what I mean? I think we don't think about those things in terms of like ethics. We think of it like, oh, we're just surviving, but it is kind of an ethical thing, because you don't know the repercussions that could have on that person's like well-being, their state of mind, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe that guy, the carpenter who made the sofa and you didn't pay him, he was on like his last, you know, on his last legs kind of thing.
So what would you want?
What would I want?
Yeah.
Everyone just pay their bills. What do you mean? What do you mean, what do I want?
Like, if you're saying we're not as cognizant of the way ethics pervade our lives on a day-to-day basis or whatever. So, what would you want?
I think it's more of, like, the survival thing. I think sometimes, and I'm, like, so guilty of this sometimes. I think when you get into, like, in a survival state of mind, especially when you're going through, like, a distressful period, I think it's easy to be consumed in like a tornado of your emotions, tornado of your thoughts, and you're just acting on survival, that sometimes we don't take a step back to be like, okay, like, what are the repercussions of my actions? Even the small ones that we take as a norm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the point of that example.
So because, mindfulness.
Yeah, mindfulness. And not in the sense of, in the sense of ourselves and other people, right? So mindfulness with yourself and being present and being aware, and then mindfulness for other people and being empathetic and like aware of like your actions, even if it is a social norm, maybe it shouldn't be that way. Do you get what I mean? I think you feel, let me not talk to how you feel. I think you say this a lot when it comes to when diaspora moved here, and like we had that conversation in like a previous episode, when diaspora moved here and they start businesses without like actually scoping out who, like, what the local landscape of the business they're trying to start is, right? So that's like, you could perceive that as unethical, and they could perceive it as like, no, I'm just coming to do my thing. But they maybe lack the awareness of like there is some unethical practice to doing that.
That relates to the next question, which is, as diaspora moving here, how does it mean to move ethically? Which I think you can probably speak to more than I can.
I would say moving here, I think you have to go through a process of checking yourself. Personally, I think every time I crash out, and then you know you have the crash out, and then you have the reflective period after, mm-hmm. and then you're like, okay, let me check myself. Mm-hmm. Like, where did I go wrong, or what lessons can I learn from that situation? But I think you have to go through a lot of periods of checking yourself, checking your privilege, checking your thoughts, checking the norms that you think you have, mm-hmm. checking how like you assimilate into culture and what you can like bring, how to bring your best foot forward, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a period that I think most diaspora I know that have moved here, they have gone, and that period of checking yourself is not easy. It's like very confronting to yourself, yeah. to be like, oh wow, like you might be the problem. You might be the problem. Me.
Hi.
I'm the problem. Like, that's literally it. Okay, I actually want to say, can we quit doing that thing where we come here, it's different, and we come here on our high horse of like, this is how things should be done. Yes, we all know this is how things should be done, but it's not how it's done. Do you get what I mean? And I think sometimes when you first move here, you're kind of just like irate all the time because you're like, it's not like that, it's not like that, it's not like that. Yeah, girl, like if you wanted it to be like that, stay where you are, you know? Yeah,
exactly. We exist in late stage capitalism. We exist in like neo-colonialism. And so therefore the need for there to be diaspora is in and of itself like a byproduct of colonialism.
100%.
No one should have had to leave in the first place. No one should have been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's already an issue. And then I think for a lot of people coming back at first, I mean, it's kind of evolved because, you know, once the Dirty December happened, it was almost like Ghana was a more modern place to come to and be able to do certain things. Prior to that, it was more sort of like coming back to engage with
visit
your heritage.
Family.
Well, yeah, but there was a lot more like, the word I am looking for is hotep, but I don't know how to portray that is these days. I don't mean it in a derogatory manner.
Yeah.
I'm just using it as a reference. But yeah, something like that where like, you know, you really awaken to your blackness, especially when you're not from here. Because again, when you're not from here, you don't grow up in majority rule. So waking up to your blackness, loving yourself, things of that nature. I have a lot of empathy for diasporans in that sense, because I think there's so much policing of the black identity. They seem to think of some homogenous. No, we are homogenous.
Can I
monolith.
Just,
I think we're monolith.
Can I just
there you
add
go.
To what you're like
trying to get at? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think there's differences, and there's cultural differences between whether it's like, let's say, an African American person coming here, or like a diaspora, like international students are different. But like in the UK, there's a whole black British culture, and it's like it's very prevalent, and it's a whole thing. And I think what that is like sometimes we have our own culture and so ingrained, and it's so like it is so us that when we come here, we feel like our black British culture should also translate to Ghanaian culture, and we see the differences, right? We see the differences, and sometimes we try to, because neither culture is wrong, obviously neither culture is, the culture is what it is, we try to kind of put what we experience as like black British people onto what our Ghanaian culture is when we come here.
And that's that British part.
It's true, but it's like, no, I hear it. But the thing is, like, we're all first generations. Like,
yeah.
For me, I was born here and I went there. Like, if you go to, let's say, if you go to somewhere like Fulton Heath, like, you would think you're in Ghana. I'm not even joking. Like, you will walk down the street and you're speaking tree the whole time. Like, aunties are, like, they're all, the culture is so similar, but so still so apart. That sometimes it's a little bit, it's not clashing, but it's a little bit confusing and takes some getting used to in how that, like, obviously being there and still being like ingrained in your culture is still not close enough to what it is to be actually here. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the empathy I'm saying I feel, because you were taken from your, well, not everyone, some were taken from this land, some because of the lack of, because of the way neocolonialism pervades our literal economic abilities and etc., it does make sense that people want to leave. Like, it's not something that is, I don't think anyone would ever question that. But we have to understand what is the underlying cause. It's not like, oh, Ghana is this, that. It's like, this country is literally under subjugation from you. Like, it is literally colonial rule on Bluetooth. Like, they are just away. You know what I mean? And it's a pipeline. You're talking about transatlantic slave trade to now modern forms of economic disruption. So, I have empathy for the diaspora because I understand, to your point, first of all, the ability to even be in someone else's land and still cultivate a community like that, I think that needs applause, because it's hard, like, when you think of the slave trade in and of itself, like, there always seemed to be something where Black people were able to find community amongst themselves. That's where we have the Gospels and all the blues. Mm. That's where blues originates from. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's always something that we're able to do. We shouldn't have to fucking do that, but we did it. Anyway, but so yeah, I think the issue is where absolutely you have that Black British culture and you come here. It's just, I mean, to relate it back to the ethics, the moral principle that you should be holding yourself to is integration, because you are coming into someone else's land and you do not want to, that maybe subconscious westernization, because you've been in the white man's land for so long, is what I meant by that's that British part. You know what I mean? Because it's that conquering, conquesting sense of way of survival that the white people seem to have utilized in their past, present and future, that is that British part. And so when you come here, you have to be cognizant of your socialization, because you're socialized differently than someone who perhaps was socialized under majority rule. You know what I mean? Things of that nature. So when you come in, you just have to be really fucking cognizant, almost extremely cognizant. And to your point, like, that can be the distress period and
100%
having to then come in and figure all of that out. And I think it's valid, like, at the end of the day, like, and that's why the first thing I said when we talked about this is we are living on a fucking floating rock and everyone's just trying to do their best, and I don't think most people are trying to harm other people. Some I think are, it's but... all oh by all means Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, those types of people.
I think you put it perfectly in that is the distress stage, right? Because you're used to surviving in a different way. You're used to different norms. And then the reintegration stage, I personally find, like, that's the distress stage. After you, like, check yourself and all of that stuff, the reintegration stage is, like, so beautiful to me. Every time I go out of it and then I go back into it, I think it's so beautiful, because you get to find a happy medium between where you came from and where you have, like, where you're choosing to live and being reintegrated into, like, the place that you, like, you originated from, right? Yeah. Okay, so that was deep and philosophical and very wise.
I don't know that we've actually helped anyone figure out how to survive, but hey, you'll think.
You'll figure it out. Go read the book. That might help you.
Yeah, I'll read it with you.
Are you going to start a book club?
About it. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, that's fine. We tried to start a book club.
Look, girl, we try a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. It lasts for like a month or like a couple of weeks, and then we're like, okay, over it.
It'll happen when it needs to happen.
Yeah, I think this is the most consistent we've ever been about anything, to be honest.
Except going to like go and chat or like go get food.
No.
We literally did that twice. But like, still.
No, I'm. Oh, you mentioned their name, but obviously they're ex for me. But except for Eaton, actually.
Yeah, we're consistent.
Yeah, no, we're consistent with that. Yeah, we will have these like evenings where we will just like go get like hella snacks, hella food.
What's that? Is it Quickmar? Quickmar and I.
Shout out to Quickmar and Chado. I know you already gave me a discount code, but if you want to give me more, because I spend hella money there.
Feel free to sponsor us.
Yeah, per. But yeah, okay, so should we go into the lie detector?
Yeah, why not? So, introducing the segment as we need to do, called the lie detector. We're gonna play a game with y'all, see if our audience is precocious, smart little things. One of us is going to tell the truth, one of us is going to tell a lie, or both of us are gonna tell the truth, both of us are gonna tell a lie. Essentially, you just have to figure out which one of us is saying something dumb. You know? Anyway, so yeah, let's get into it. You want to start or shall I?
I think you can go.
I can go. Okay.
Okay.
I wrote my story down.
Did you? I didn't think about my story.
I was trying to, because I really want to fool the audience. I don't think I've done a good job in fooling them as well as I could have.
But is it a lie or is it the truth?
No.
It's for you to know, us to find out. Okay.
Okay. So, when I first came to this country after being in the US, I couldn't drive. So, I didn't know how to drive at the time. So, obviously, Uber was my bread and butter. Mm. And I think I already mentioned I did my NSS at Legon, right? So, that was kind of my route from my house to Legon. Mm. But one day I took an Uber. Wait, was I going or coming? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, this was morning. Yeah. This is like, what year are we in? 2025? It was 3 years ago, and I have a very bad memory. But so I ordered this Uber, and well, first things first, obviously he was a little late, like, because he was stationary. So this is a time where I didn't realize, like, sometimes you'd have to call them beforehand just to be like, oh, I'm going here, or da 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 da. Because again, I live in the vicinity, so most things are close, which is good. But he was stationary for a while on the app. I thought it was just my network, whatever. So I get into the car eventually, and I'm like, oh, boss, you were late. And he doesn't say anything. And I'm like, boss, you were late. And he doesn't say anything. I'm just like, okay, I guess today is a quiet day. Usually I'm a quiet girl in an Uber, so I don't mind. But anyway, so we just go and we get to, it's not Shiashi, but it's like right, you know, the there's an over thing. I don't know if it's an overhead itself, like where Shangri-La used to be.
Okay.
You go under, and then that, like, little, you could branch off to the mall or you could keep going straight. Obviously, we kept going straight.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going straight, and he was suddenly like, he was trying to merge into the, we were in the right, so he's trying to merge into the left.
Because
obviously, you want to go straight and then you turn into Legon. And he was merging like he wanted both of us to die. Yeah. No, I'm like, I've never been in a car like that where, like, I was fearing for my life, genuinely. And he'd already, you know, sometimes when you meet someone, like, their demeanor puts you off. So you're a little afraid. Mm. So I was a little afraid already. But then we got there, and I was like, okay, well, you know, we're halfway. Like, I can get here safely. And then he started. And so this man was weaving in and out of traffic. And I was clutching, I don't know, the pull-down thing. I was like, boss, like, can you please slow down? Like, you know, I have a whole future ahead of me. Shit, I haven't even finished my NSS. And so weaving in and out, and he's not minding me. And I'm shook because I'm like, am I talking to a ghost? Like, what is going on? And so, thankfully, we get to Legon safely. And I obviously give him I give him like one star or whatever.
As you do.
And this man, like 30 minutes later, after everything is all said and done, and I'm sitting in my little cubicle or whatever, this man calls me and he starts blasting. This is the first time I've heard his voice, first and foremost. Bear in mind, so it irritates me because I'm like, so this whole time, it's only when you are in trouble that now you are talking to me. Whatever. So he calls me, he starts to blast me, and he's like, don't you know that if you give me a bad rating? And first of all, I'm like, how do you even know I gave you a bad rating? Because Uber's not supposed to show you that, right?
I don't know. I mean, his overall rating might go down.
I don't know how he found out that, oh, I gave him a bad rating, but I was like, bro, like, you were doing this, and then he, yeah, basically, I just had a fight with an Uber driver. Or did I?
Oh, did she? Okay. Should I say my opinion on what I think it is, or should I just leave it to people?
No, you can't say.
Okay, I can't say. Okay, fair enough. Should I say mine?
Yeah.
Mine's going to be similar in like Uber related.
Okay.
Okay. So this was when I was living, this must have been like maybe 2 years ago now.
Okay.
2 years ago. So I ordered an Uber from my house in Chato area, and I was going to La Boracha in Cantonments, right?
In La Boni.
And you know, to go to La Boracha, there's two ways you could go. You could go like the inner part, like near 8020, and then go that way.
Like American Embassy side.
Or you could take, not 37, but like cut in through 37.
Yeah.
The overbridge from like, if you're going from Chado, like over the roundabout.
Yes, and then cut in, right? So like Elwak.
Elwak side.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think the time I was going was like 10, 11-ish. Like, yeah, maybe like 10-ish. And I wasn't like, this guy gave me kind of weird vibes, right? So I was just like, I'm not trying to take the inner roads. It's kind of darkish. And like the way he was going.
It was at night.
And the way he was going through like the inner roads in Cantonments to go to La Boni, I was just like, I ain't never seen this road before. And there's no street lights. So I say to him, I was like, sir, can you like take this turn instead of this turn? Because like, I just feel more comfortable. Already prior to getting there, I had said something to him, or like maybe I can't quite remember, but I think I was late coming down, or like we'd had like a little thing before where he kind of just like snapped at me a little, and I was just like, all right, I didn't want any trouble. I'm about to go get a margarita. Like, I'm relaxed. So after I tell him to take this turn or take that turn, he basically was, he stops the car, like, just like he's driving, and then he just stops the car, and he was just like, I'm canceling your ride. You can get out right here. And we were on a street with no street lights, right? I know it's still Cantonments, but still, like, you know.
So crazy.
Street with no street lights. He was like, I'm canceling your ride. You can order another ride, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, cool, that's fine. I'm ordering another ride, but I'm not getting out on the street
until the other ride comes,
right? Normal.
Mm-hmm.
So the other ride's going to take, what, like 5 minutes or something. He starts driving. He just starts driving with me in the car. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And he drives and he goes like back to Elwok. And at this point, I'm like freaking out, because I'm just like, yo, why are you driving? They're like, you're not taking me to my destination, but you're like, and the Bolt or whatever can't say that like you're going this way, because I'm no longer on the trip, you canceled the trip. So I start being like, yo guy, like what's wrong, what are you doing? Like I start recording him, I'm like, why are you doing this? And he starts screaming at me, and he was like, you think you know better than me, blah blah blah, like just completely popping off. Like it was, I don't think it was even me, it was like resentful. And he was like, I'm taking you to the police station. I said, taking me to the police station for what? And he was just like, I'm taking you to the police station. I was like, okay, but like, I haven't done anything to you. Like, what the heck? I haven't done anything to you. What the heck? So at this point, we get to, you know, the first traffic light at the round at the 37. If you're coming from like next to Elwok, basically, you can do your U-turn and go to Elwok. So at this point, I put down the window and I say to someone, help, he's trying to kidnap me.
You're lying.
And they're gonna be like, what?
No, Ghanaians would be like, huh?
They were like, what? No, I was like, he's trying to kidnap me.
So, fucking hell.
The traffic like stops, and I quickly like get out of the car. And you know, normally, like if you're coming from La Boni sides, there's like a police stop there. So
in
like
La Boni?
So like you're going from La Boni to airport, there's a police stop there normally. So I literally run from the car to the police stop, and I'm just like, yo, this guy's really weird. Like, he's trying to take me to the police station. Like, let's talk it out here. So he gets out of the car and he goes to the police and she was like, this guy, look at this girl.
He's still following you. Instead of him just to drive away.
Girl, he's still following me. So he comes to the police officer and he's like, oh, like this girl, you know, look at the way she's dressed. She's so rude. Da 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 da. And the police officer was like, does she owe you money? And he was like, no. And he was like, okay, leave her alone then. And he stood there and he was like, he started to like try to argue with the police officer so the police officer will see me as bad. And the police officer was like, just go, right?
It's nighttime, chill.
So get my Uber, go get a drink. Couple of weeks later, I'm trying to order a Bolt. Bolt says, you are blocked. I said, why? Why would I be blocked from Bolt? They call me and I messaged them and they call me and they were like, oh, this Uber driver is saying that you strangled him whilst he was driving. I said, with these little hands, look at these hands. They're so soft. He probably thought it was a massage. Like, he no, girl. What do you mean? But yeah, okay. Is that a lie or is it not? I feel like it's pretty obvious. But.
Attached. But we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
The problem is, so is mine. Well,
yeah.
But whose is more believable?
What do you mean?
that's the question we should ask. Whose is more believable?
Wait. Now I'm confused. Do you think it's true or it's not? Don't tell me later.
Girl, that better be a lie.
No! I promise you it's the truth.
Girl, you were in Cantonment and suddenly you knew you were in La Bonnie. Like, what are you talking
about? I promise you it's true. And I was being so dramatic. I was being really dramatic to be like, okay, like, I don't know these streets. Yeah, like.
Girl, but I thought we were both lying.
No, girl. Like, but him actually, like, kidnapping me was, like, fully the truth.
Like, the beginning part, I was like, okay, this is making sense. And then it started to get into some of the intricate details. And I was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to sound legit.
No, yeah, girl. Like, it's fully a story.
La Bonnie to airport. You can't connect from La Bonnie to airport.
Yes, like, you can.
You have to pass through.
No, not airport, res. Airport, the actual airport. So, girl. Like, if you're coming from GIS and
that's
you're.
That's Cantonment.
Oh, well, God.
So, see, that's where I'm confused.
Okay, Cantonment, too.
So, because you were in Cantonment. So, when you were at the traffic lights, you said Cantonment next to Elwak. If you did a U-turn, you'd be at Elwak.
Yeah.
Then you said the police stop was La Bonnie to airport. And then I was like, oh.
Oh, no, I meant Cantonment.
Okay. And then also, that's insane. He was.
Oh, no, he was on one. It gave, his wife or sister or a lady pissed him off and a woman pissed him off and I was like the beneficiary of his anger.
The outlet.
Yeah, I was the outlet. But well, I was like, he said, she strangled me. She was holding my shirt. I said, sir, even the guy on the phone on the
sounded
he was like,
you don't
sound that violent. I said, I'm
but
not.
But also, that's so funny. Does someone sound violent? That's crazy.
True. Okay, yeah. Should we wrap up?
We fucking should. Hi, Spacey.
Okay, pause whatever you're doing right now because we have something big to tell you.
Like, circle your calendar, life-changing kind of big.
Okay, we're exaggerating, but you're definitely going to feel the FOMO.
Sankasa is having a live show on May 23rd, bitches.
From 7:30 to 9:30 p.m.
at GCR Studio in Chado.
Expect good, great vibes, real conversations, stories and secrets.
A little drama. You know how we do.
Grab the girls, besties, or just show up solo and cute.
While we celebrate the significance of us, yes, you, our dear listener, becoming the new generation of adults.
The new oldies, the baddie aunties and uncles.
I'm sorry, did you just call us old?
I think I did. Yeah, maybe.
Cheek. Come hang with us and chat about what this new era means.
Tickets are free and available in our bio.
See you there.
Mwahaha.
Girl.
Thank you all for listening to our stories and getting philosophical with us.
Yes.
This was cute. This is a lot to think about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Staying
ethical while surviving, you know? It's up to you. What are your moral principles? What do you believe in? Tell us in the comments down below. Do you stand for anything or do you stand for nothing at all?
Thank you. At Sandcastle Podcast on all social media. Let us know.
Let us know.
Any last salient points?
Faces licking me like I am food.
Yeah, as always.
As always.
Thank you to our wonderful team at GCR. Let us know what you think on our socials at Sandcastle Podcast. And we will see you next time.
See you guys. Bye.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.